What the?
A surprise party? Some of you may remember those words from Bill Murray in the classic movie Stripes. The result of the Thursday night game couldn't have surprised you more if the cast of Will and Grace had danced out of the dugout in the top of the third. The rough equivalent of that, the Red Sox slaughtered the Yankees 19-3 to resoundingly answer the question of whether or not they're ready to try and make a run. Barnicky, that guy owes me money. A recap of the carnage is now on Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're gonna find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Savages, more like cabbages, am I right? Boy, what a way to get over the disappointment of that 3-3 road trip. Moving on from the evil umpire to the evil empire, the who's on first routine of Tampa Bay giving way Thursday night, to the start of the make or break, 8 games against the Yankees in a stretch of a week and a half, and it begins with a bludgeoning so bad you thought it was a Tarantino movie, not Stripes. Josh Lewin with you. I'll be your big toe, your personal Sergeant Hulka for the next 18 minutes or so. 10 doubles, the most lopsided Red Sox win over the Yankees in the 117-year history of the rivalry. 12 runs on 12 hits and 3 walks and 3 and a third given up by Tanaka, the most earned runs ever given up by a Yankee pitcher is 13, so that was pretty close. Let's back up here and just kind of go with what we were saying coming in. We knew the Sox were 17-5 in their last 22 on the road, big league best 29-12 on the road since the middle of April, but home games in Fenway Park going together like peanut butter and jellyfish. The Sox are 24-25 at home, 24-23 if you don't include the London games. And, yeah, they have to show some big improvement in Boston to make a push against these other AL contenders. One team has made the playoffs with a losing home record. The 2001 Braves were 40-41. That's it. So Rick Porcello would get the ball, trying to make it 5 straight starts where the Sox starter goes at least 6 innings. Previous 4 games run support for Porcello, 13, 10, 10, and 17. Isn't that cute? Thursday night would be 19. I mean, these are football scores they're giving a Porcello. Sale gets soccer scores when he pitches, but whatever. You cannot make me cynical after this one. The opponent, the Yankees, 65-35 and on a pace to win 105. And, of course, the Yankees have owned the Red Sox so far in 2019, winning 6 out of 7, outscoring them 56-36. Betts came in with an on-base streak of 22 games in a row, longest streak in the AL. Devers had driven in 29 runs in 19 games since the start of July. Most runs batted in by a Sox hitter in a month since Adrian Gonzalez's May of 11. Most by a Red Sox in July since Big Poppy had 35 in 06. Christian Vasquez, only 4 catchers in the game have more homers than Vasquez. It's the injured Gary Sanchez, it's Yasmani Grandal, Mitch Garver, and Wilson Contreras. All right, so those were just some of the little things we were tracking going in. I forgot to put Xander Bogaerts on that list. So right away, of course, he would do something freakish. Xander had a bunch of friends and family in from Aruba to watch him. They missed his 451-foot home run in the first, the longest of his career because of freaking traffic. No worries, Bogey would hit another one later. But that first inning, it ended up as a second 7-run inning for the Sox in their last 4 games. And yeah, first innings are productive now. All April, May, and June, we'd complain that they weren't. They had 33 first inning runs in their first 80 games. And now it is 40 first inning runs in their most recent 24 games, which is crazy talk. Masahiro Tanaka all but turned into a puddle of pee-pee out there. By the end of the carnage, Tanaka had allowed the most runs in a game by one Yankee since 1923. Sean McDonough's Lyme disease must have seemed like a mere runny nose compared to what Tanaka was going through. Remember last time he faced the Sox, it was 6 runs allowed in 2/3 of an inning. So add this to that, 18 earned runs in 4 innings. Masahiro, por favor. I will take some more of that, please. By the end of the night, it was 4 hits for Bogaerts, 3 apiece for the suddenly surging Martinez and Benintendi. They had both looked horrible the first couple weeks out of the All-Star break. JBJ, three hits. We'll hear from him in a bit. Chavis, a pair of doubles. And yeah, the Red Sox hammered 10 of those bad boys, 10 doubles, to tie a major league record. All right, Porcello, six innings. Not great work, but six innings. And double-digit runs support each of his last five starts. No major leaguer has had that since 96. 1896, that's the punchline. Seriously, Porcello's given up 30 runs in 29 innings and is somehow 4-1 in that time. Meantime, the Yankees have allowed 40 runs in their last five games, something they haven't done since the year Fenway opened, 1912. This game, one thing after another happening that Major League Baseball hadn't seen since there were a lot fewer stars on the flag. Speaking of stars, JBJ, Jackie Bradley Jr., was among the glittering universe of stars on Thursday, and he stopped by to talk to Joe and Sean after it was finally over.
Well, Jackie, that certainly was a huge hit, because if it's a three-run inning, it's one thing, especially what happened after that, but that really broke the game open. It was an 0-2 pitch, right?
Yes, sir.
What were you looking for there?
Just something over the plate, something I can handle. Try to get him up. Obviously, he still threw a really good pitch. Just made a good swing.
And that one down the right field line, as we heard. And then the next time up, a double down the left field line. I know Joe Castiglione up here likes to talk about the numbers. When you drive the ball to the opposite field, there's a lot of success. How much is that in your mind, if at all, when you're up there at the plate?
No, I'm not trying to think about it. I'm just literally trying to put the fat part of the bat on the ball. Wherever I hit it, that's where it goes. Don't want to force anything. Just want to take what I'm given and, you know, hopefully, you know, it doesn't find a fielder.
Well, Jackie, you see what this lineup's capable of. I mean, you're not going to get 19 runs every day, but the balance and the threats up and down the lineup have to be very, very tough on any pitcher.
Yeah. We want to just execute our plans as a team, just continue to grind, and so-called pass the baton. that's what we like to do.
Well, there was a lot of that tonight. I'm curious, you got an at-bat in the bottom of the eighth and when they brought in Austin Romine. What is that like, you know, mentally, when you go up there against the position player who's out there to pitch?
It's different. You don't really have a so-called game plan for it. But, you know, you just try to treat it like any normal at-bat. See a pitch you can handle and put a good swing on it. Try not to do too much and don't strike out.
And, Jackie, we got to mention Rick Porcello, tip of the cap to him. I mean, that 47-pitch second inning had to be exhausting, but he got through it.
Yeah, he definitely – he's a grinder. He's a gamer, and what a competitor he is. To be able to, you know, go through those two innings and be able to execute when he needed to. We needed that performance out of him tonight, and he delivered.
Jackie, congratulations. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks to Jackie Bradley Jr. Let us walk through some of the other fun nuggets from the Thursday pinata whack. 15 years in one day after Jason Veritek gave it to A-Rod in kind of a similar manner. And heck, that game only had 21 runs in it, that fabled 11-10 game. This one had 22, 19 by the good guys. So, the last team with eight different players banking at least two runs batted in one game, the 2007 Rangers, in that wacky 30-3 game in Baltimore, which was game one of a doubleheader. Salta Lamacchia drove in seven from the eighth spot of the order for Texas in that one. Current Sox coach Ramon Vasquez drove in seven from the ninth spot in the order. Sandy Leon homered off a position player again. That's twice this week. So hide your infielders and outfielders and catchers. Sandy Leon does not mess around when non-pitchers pitch. Austin Romine, you and Stevie Wilkerson can go have a beer sometime and then talk about how to pitch to Sandy Leon. Darwinson Hernandez got in this game, and now through his first nine major league innings, 19 strikeouts, 207 pitches, which is not ideal, and also eight walks, but that is a dazzling number of strikeouts, isn't it? Devers hit another home run. He is going to get to 35 this year, I'm telling you. This one, 437 feet, oppo. He went opposite field for 437. I mean, we all know he's got crazy power the other way, but he's the first lefty to hit one that far to left field all year in the majors, we're told. Christian Yelich had the old mark at a mere 431. Wimp. Bogaerts, the two-homer game, gets him to 23 for the year. So, yes, he's got his career high with a week still left in July. 7 home runs, 22 runs batted in July for Bogarts. And Devers, we mentioned, is up to 31. One more note on Xander. Against the Yankees this year, only 8 games played against them, obviously. 5 home runs, batting average of .440. That works for me. Brock Holt missed a good deal of the fun, ejected for arguing balls and strikes when DJ Rayburn, who was having a rough, shall we say, Angel Hernandez-like night behind the plate, they got into it. After the game, Alex Cora, not about to protest the results of this one. Let's listen into a happy manager.
Yeah, we did a good job controlling the zone. Mookie got a hanging slider, put a good swing on it. Rafi's at bat was amazing. And then Xander got a 3-1 fastball and then crushed it. You know, and that's what you got to do against Tanaka. You know, there's a guy that he never gives in, and he's relentless, pitching to the edges of the strike zone. And we did an outstanding job getting him in the middle of the zone.
Did the long wait affect Porcello in the second?
I know he doesn't mind that, but they're a good offensive team, and Didi put a good swing on that fastball, you know, after a long at bat, and they keep going, you know. LeMahieu puts that long at bat too, and that's something they do on a nightly basis. They don't quit. They keep putting quality at bats after quality at bats. You got to play 9 innings, and you got to keep making pitches. He gets out of that one. They only scored 2. And then after that, he made some adjustments, and he was able to give us 6. It was a good night for him.
Alex, was that a good opportunity for Nate to pitch? And do you have kind of a feel for when you'll be comfortable using him in a high leverage situation or a closing situation?
We call him, and he said he wanted 1 inning today, so you know, we felt using it there. I mean, we could have gone somewhere else, but he felt like he needed that one, so we're comfortable. We know where we're going to use him, but he hasn't pitched in 2 days, and he asked for it, so he pitched out. We put him out.
Are you still kind of feeling out his workload that way?
No, not really. We know where he's at. He's healthy. We know it just happened that we haven't been able to use him in a close game when we're up or tied.
Alex, what changed for Rick after that second inning, just his ability to put away hitters?
I think he started mixing up his off-speed pitches. And the breaking ball came into play. He threw a few changes, but at the end, everything was fastball command. And even though in that inning, they put good at bats, but he was good with it. I think Voit hit a breaking ball. Didi hit a fastball. The man he could follow in a fastballs and breaking balls, but everything starts with that. And he was able to use it and to establish it, and then he was able to expand later on.
Alex, for all the ups and downs so far in the season, when you see your offense rolling like that against a good pitcher like Tanaka, you still get pretty confident you can get where you want to go?
And we've been rolling offensively for a while now. You know, those 3 guys on top, especially the number 2 hitter and 3rd hitter, they've been consistent the whole season, and they're doing damage. You see that bat by Rafi in the first inning. You know, probably last year, he would chase that pitch in 3-2. He takes the walk, and then Xander on a 3-1 count, he crushed that one. And they've been very consistent. And then when Mookie's getting on at this rate, he's been probably like a month already. His on-base percentage is where it's supposed to be. We've become a good offense. I think Benny's winning bad the way he is. The last few days, it adds more. And then, you know, what Christian is doing and Brock and, you know, Chavis gets a chance to play today. He puts some good swings. So, you know, we feel good offensively. I think we've done a better job the last month and a half to put good at-bats with men in scoring position. I think that was the difference early on. But we've been pretty good for a while now.
That's fine.
There is the skipper, and the Red Sox are now a game and a half out of that second wild card spot. They chop a game off the Yankees' lead, too. Next up, the Friday night game. Game 2 of the 8 to be played against the Yankees in this stretch of basically a week and a half. Battle of guys with almost the exact same ERA. It's 4.20 against 4.19. Andrew Cashner, 0-2 as a Red Sox after being 9-3 as an Oriole, which makes no sense. It's like shooting 79 at Putt-Putt and 73 at Pebble Beach. I mean, that's very backwards. But you've got Big Maple going for New York. James Paxton, who's been the big mediocre for New York, 5-5 with an ERA in the fours. But he was very good against the Sox back in April, 8 innings of 2-hit ball. However, the one other guy with that exact line this year against the Red Sox, 8 innings of 2-hit ball, Tampa Bay's Yanni Chirinos, also in April and earlier this week, when Boston had its chance for round two, they beat Chirinos 9-4. So there, 9. What a low number. What a comically low number. Give me the 19 again, brother. A total of 6. The Sox reached twice a year ago, but both times it was against Baltimore. This time it was against a team 10 or 11 games in front of them. It's now 10. The Pinstripe Darlings from Gotham. So not tonight, boss. Not on my watch. Enjoy your weekend, Sox Nation. May all your days be 19-3. This is Josh Lewin. Thank you very much for listening. Tell your friends, tell your waiter, tell the guy at Dunkin' Donuts, tell that guy who won't get out of your way as you're running to make the green line. It's called Sox Daily, and it is daily indeed, Mondays through Fridays. Talk to you after the Sunday night game. Bye-bye.